Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Tet. And we're holding right at the first words on the page, but we're holding smack bang in the middle of a concept. So let me just remind you, we had a machlokas over here between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi about what direction you move around the Mizbeach HaPnimi. So according to Rabbi Akiva, even though the norm was Mibachutz, remember that we always moved in a counterclockwise direction, which is called Liyamin, as you're facing the Mizbeach, the reason that we would do that is because we learn out from Rami Bar Yecheskel, we have that Limud, the beautiful Braita, that speaks about the way that the Torah describes the Yam Shel Shlomo. And as it describes the Yam Shel Shlomo, and it talks about the way that the Bakar that were underneath the Yam are facing, it goes in a clearly counterclockwise direction in description. So it's as if it's you're facing the Yam Shel Shlomo in the Azorah, and you're walking around it towards your right hand, which is counterclockwise. And yet, for some reason, Rabbi Akiva said that when you give the Matnez Dam of the Par and of the Sayer of Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol actually went in a clockwise direction. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili argued, and he said, no, you go in a counterclockwise direction. So now we wanted to know what was the basis of that machlokas. So we started off yesterday by suggesting that maybe they're arguing about the question of whether you really can learn from Yam Shel Shlomo. In other words, they're arguing about the fundamental assumption of Rami Bar Yecheskel's limud. That was our first approach. Then we said, no, it's not necessarily that we have to say such a thing. What we could say is that everybody agrees to the fundamental approach of Rami Bar Yecheskel, and the only question is whether we can learn out the idea of hakafa inside of the Heichal from the dinim of movement outside in the Azorah. Because remember that there were completely different spatial concepts inside of the Heichal as opposed to outside. So that was the machlokas. And Rabbi Akiva said, look, I agree with Rami Bar Yecheskel, but I don't believe it has any application in terms of the Mizbeach HaPnimi. So that was the second explanation. Now let's give a third explanation. V'ibayitem, I could give another explanation. The truth is, I would suggest that if everybody would hold that HaKofa is Beregel, meaning that you actually physically walk around the inside of that, the outside in the inside of the Heichal, you walk around the outside of that little tiny Mizbeach, which was only one Amma square. So then everybody would agree that, well, I mean, if you ever walk around something, you're supposed to walk around towards your right, facing it, which is like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And you would be walking around counterclockwise. Then yes, but the machlokas is that Rabbi Akiva holds you don't walk around it. Actually, you just move your hand around it. You stay in one place because it's a small little Mizbeach. And therefore, the machlokas is, if the Gemara Sofer HaKafa B'yad, so Rabbi Akiva holds, we don't really walk around it. And therefore, it's irrelevant what we learned from the Yam Shel Shlomo, and it's irrelevant what we do in the Mizbeach HaChitzon, because over there we're walking around the Mizbeach. So that is learned from the Yam Shel Shlomo, where, so to speak, we're describing someone walking around the Yam Shel Shlomo and what he would see. Masha Inkain, the Rabbi Yossi Aglili, he holds that here too was Hakofa Berego. So we do learn it out from outside. But Rabbi Akiva says, what is moving your hand around a circle? Where did we learn that out from Rami Bar Yecheskel? So it's not applicable here. That's the third explanation. Now, there's also a fourth possibility. The Boitema. It could be that everybody agrees, both Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva agree that Hakofa Biyad. And that's the question. Does the limud from the Rami Bar Yecheskel of the Yam Shel Shlomo, does it apply to anything that is going around in a circle about something else? Or does it only apply when you are physically circling that other thing? Now, if I can learn out that in a sense, the Yamshel Shlomo is just a map. I mean, it isn't that anybody's really walking around it. So then that would mean that even if we're just discussing mapping something, we will go counterclockwise. So then certainly inside of the Heichal, when we're really moving our hand around it, which is closer to actually circling, we should also move counterclockwise. But the other approach is, as Rabbi Akiva would say, what does moving your hand around something have to do with the description of circling something with your body? And therefore, I'm not interested in whether there's a difference between chutz or pnim or any of the other things you suggested. I'm just saying that the original Rami Bar Yecheskel's limud from the Yamshel Shlomo is not applicable to moving a hand. It's only applicable to moving your body. So we have four possible explanations. Says the Gemara, no, we do not. This last explanation is no good, because the last explanation is assuming that even Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that you do not move around by foot, and you're only moving your hand around. But that cannot be the case. Why not? Because look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Rabbi Eliezer, who argues on the Tanakhama, Rabbi Eliezer says, no, he didn't use to circle around. He would stand in one place, and then he would put the dam on from where he was. And that made the difference about whether you're moving your hand up or down, remember? Because if you're up against the keren, then you have no choice but to move your hand from the top down in order to avoid getting the big dekuna dirty on the sleeve. So when Rabbi Eliezer says that it's not true, you didn't walk around, so there would be no problem in moving your hand from down to up, if you didn't walk around, except for the corner that you're facing. But that means that the Tanakhama, who says not like that, does hold that the Hakofa was Beregel. Now, remember that we had proved before that the Tanakhama has got to be Rabbi Yossi Aglili, because he says that you start on the northeast, remember? And that's the Shita of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who holds that the Yitziah was directly from the north and not from the south, which is why we do the north first. So that means that the Tanakhama essentially follows the Shita of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and it's Rabbi Eliezer who's arguing on Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and therefore Rabbi Yossi Aglili must hold that the Hakafa was done by foot. So don't try to tell me everybody agrees the Hakafa was done by hand, and that the machlokas is only whether we learn out a hand movement from a foot movement. That's not true. Okay, fine. You're right. Okay, so fine. We can take the previous answer. That's fine. Mar shavar hakofa biyad, mar shavar hakofa beregel, and that would make everything fine. That would be the machlokas. And everyone agrees that we do not learn out yad from regel, and that itself is the machlokas. Now, there's one other possibility. It's a very not good shot. Let's use the gross change of the girsa. Take out the words ebois ema, because it doesn't really make any sense. And just say the words ubahaka mefuge. So now we're going to explain why there would be a machlokas about whether hakofa beragel or whether hakofa biyad. What would that be based on? Such a machlokas. So therefore, if you put the ebois em, you cross that out. Bahaka miflage, and we go directly to say u bahaka miflage. So what is Rabbi Akiva arguing with Rabbi Yossi about whether hakofa is done biyad or beregel? It's like this. Rabbi Yossi really says, look, it says in both psukim, it says vizarku et hadam al hamizbeach saviv. That's benogea the Mizbeach Achitzain, and it says, V'natan al karnot ha-Mizbeach saviv, here by Yom HaKippurim. So that should be, if that's the case, exactly the same saviv. And if therefore I say, if it says saviv on the Mizbeach Achitzain, over there, it definitely, nobody argues that saviv means you walk around it. So then it's exactly the same thing over here. You learn it out from the Mizbeach Achitzain. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, look, the Mizbeach HaChitzon had on it Arba Kronot, right? And when it's describing the Saviva of the Mizbeach HaChitzon, it's talking about walking from one Karen to the next Karen, which is 32 amas away. And that's a big walk, okay? But when we're talking about Saviv on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the entire size of the Mizbeach HaPnimi is precisely the size of one single corner, an amma by an amma, of the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So therefore, Marzava, Rabbi Akiva says, look, the entire Mizbeach HaPnimi is the equivalent of one of the kronot of the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So therefore, we cannot say that you're going to walk around the single Karen of the Mizbeach HaChitzon, right? Obviously, you don't. You walk from Karen to Karen. So over here by the Mizbeach HaPnimi, that's basically you're at one of those kronot. Now you move your hand around, and that would be the equivalent of a single one of the kronot on Mizbeach HaChitzon. Therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, you just stay in one corner, which is exactly what you do if you're giving dam on that corner, on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. And here in the Mizbeach HaPnimi, that's what you're doing. You're standing on that corner. And from there, you would move your hand around. If you move your hand around, you can move your hand around clockwise and not only counterclockwise. And as I explained, says Rabbi Akiva, there's a reason over here to go clockwise because I want to go back to the corner that I skipped. Once I'm going already in that direction, I just keep going. Obviously, it's ridiculous to go first 1 hour, or one, I should say, one quarter of a turn around the Mizbeach to the clockwise direction and go all the way back around counterclockwise. That would be just silly. Tanya. Amar Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says, it's very interesting that there were two Kohanim Gedolim that lived on in my days. It should probably say, as many change it, that it's not the Mizbeach, not the Migdash HaRishon, and the Gra takes out the word Migdash HaRishon. I mean, we're not talking about the first Beis HaMikdash, we're talking about the second Beis HaMikdash. So there were two Kohanim Gedolim that were there from the Churban, okay? And one of them said that, I can tell you personally, I actually used my hands to put the dam on the different kronot, and I did not move my foot. So I did the hakafa, actually, biyat, and not beregel. And the other one says, well, I was beregel hikafti. And each one gave an explanation for why they did it that way. So the one who said that I walked around beregel, he says, I'll tell you why. Saviv zenotein tam ledvarav. This latter one said, it says in both of them, Saviv, right? And Saviv of the Mizbeach HaPnimi should therefore be done like the Saviv of the Mizbeach HaChitzon. The Mizbeach HaChitzon was done by walking around it. So too the Mizbeach HaPnimi is done by walking around it. Masha Enkein, the first one of those Kohanim, he said that the reason was, Zenotein tam ledvarav, that kulei Mizbeach HaPnimi, b'mokom choda keren dechitzon koi. Exactly what we suggested would be the machlokas, the basis of the machlokas, true in Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosei Galili. It turns out that Rabbi Yishmael says, oh my gosh, this was from before the churban of the Beis HaMikdash. They already had that machlokas. Now, this is a bit of a problem because Lamaisa, the Gemara says in Temura that until the time of Yossi ben Yoezer, there were no machlokas. And this would be claiming that, I mean, if you're going to tell me that we're talking about the first Beis HaMikdash, this is another one of the reasons we have to change it, is way before the period of Yosef ben Yoezer. So there's a number of possibilities. Either we could change this to read the second Beis HaMikdash, or we could also say that they weren't actually arguing at all. It was just explaining that you can do either approach. Like some of the Rishonim say, there was no machlokas between the two Kohanim Gedolim. They just described halacha lemaisa what they did according to their svara. But, I mean, it's not as if it's essential to do it one way or the other. So that would mean it has nothing to do with those machlokas. And there's another approach that those Rishonim says maybe the meaning of the machlokas, and there was no machlokas until the time of Yossi ben Yoezer. Maybe what that means is that any time that they, obviously there were disagreements, so they would be able to come to a conclusion. If they took a vote, they would come to a conclusion, and then everybody would be persuaded. And over here, they never did. That's all that we saw from these two Kohanim Gedolim. But had they spoken with each other, then there wouldn't have been a machlokas. Maybe that's the pshat. It's not that people didn't have initial disagreements. Okay. Anyway, getting back to Reb Eliezer Shita in the Mishnah. So Reb Eliezer said, "Bimakomo haya omed umechate," that actually he did not walk around at all, and therefore he was not in any kind of pressure to avoid getting his clothes dirty because he was sticking his hand out. And sticking your hand out, you put your hand down at the bottom and then come up. There's no reason why your sleeve should get dirty, because basically you're going to be facing downwards with your finger. It's only on the one next to you. You can't face down. You're going to move your hand to face downwards. You have to face upwards because it's right next to you. And therefore, if you would go like that, you would get your sleeve dirty. But you go down. Okay. That's the Shita of Reb Eliezer. So the thing that's interesting is that not all of the Shitas agree that that's what Reb Eliezer said. If we take a look in the Braita, we'll see that there's actually a machlokas about what Reb Eliezer held. Now, the Tana of our Mishnah, he is whom? Basis and Mani. He is the Shita of Reb Yehuda in the Braita that describes what it was that Reb Eliezer said. Because in the Braita, it says like this, the Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir says, I'll tell you what Reb Eliezer says. And it's very different than what Reb Eliezer says in our Mishnah. He says, now Reb Eliezer Omer, bimekomo oya omed umechate, he did stand in place, but al kulama yonotein mimala lemata, chutz miota shebalachsa, that nonetheless, what he would do is would still go from top to bottom, even though he didn't move his hand around. The only one that he would not go top to bottom was the one that was diagonal to where he was standing. Why is that? Because that would be very uncomfortable. The diagonal was already further away. And so in order to reach it, he would have to really stretch out, bend out over the Mizbeach. And therefore, if we would tell him that he should go from top to bottom, he would first position his hand, and while bending over, he'd have to like stretch his hand down. That's a bit uncomfortable. So for that one, the one that's diagonal over there, he would first put his hand all the way down, and then as he brought his body up, he would bring his hand up with it, which is simply more convenient. So according to the way Rabbi Meir understood Reb Eliezer, actually, he did all of them the same. Mimala, because why change? I'm doing the one that's right in front of me, and I'm doing it in a way to avoid getting my sleeves dirty from on top to the bottom. So fine, if it doesn't matter, I can do that on all of them. Why should I change the modality of which I do it? Where I get to the diagonal, there I've got a problem because it's inconvenient, so there I'll change. So chutz me'otot shebalach son, the one that's diagonally across, which is very far from where he's standing, and it's difficult to stretch his hand over there, he gives mimata lamala. That's not like our Mishnah at all, because our Mishnah says that actually Reb Eliezer says that he would give all of them milamata lamala, and he was arguing with the Tanakhama completely. That Shita in Reb Eliezer is Reb Yehuda Shita in Reb Eliezer. Reb Yehuda Omer, that's not what Reb Eliezer said, Rabbi Meir. What Reb Eliezer said is that bimekomo omeid umechate, that part you're right. But al kulama yonotein milamata lamala, he would always go from the bottom up, because that's the easiest way to do it if you're standing in your place, except for the one that's right in front of you. The one that's right in front of you, you can't do it that way because you have to put your fingers, you're going to be holding your fingers if you're putting it right on front of you. How could you get your hand up far enough to go like that? So you'd have to be going from the bottom up, and that would mean if you, like this, if you did that, the blood would be dripping, right? So you can't move your hand so that your palm is facing downwards and you can't get your shoulder that high. So because of that, the only one that he would be careful to go from up down, that would be the one that's right in front of him where he's holding his fingers up And if he would be going up, so then he would be dripping, and he would get his clothes dirty. So there is no temimala lamata ki echad lo nitvas mane, in order to make sure that he doesn't dirty his sleep. Okay, so that gives us a very fine understanding of the different shitas in the Mishnah about the direction and about the hand movement. Now, the next thing that we get to is the final zrika, which was being zerek sheva pa'amim, after putting the dam onto each one of the kronot of the Mizbeach HaPnimi with his finger. He then would be zerek the dam, so he would do not no longer with his finger, and that he would do on the Tiharosh Shel Mizbeach. It's not quite clear, what is Tiharosh Shel Mizbeach? What exactly does that mean? See, hiza mimeno al gosh, al Tiharosh Shel Mizbeach sheva pa'amim. My taro, what does the word mean? Omar Rabba. Now, it seems to be that the basis of the use of the word taro is the lashon in the pasuk, because in the pasuk the Torah uses a strange language, because it says viza alav min adam beetzba'o sheva pa'amim v'tiharo v'kicho mitumot b'nei Yisrael. Because it's a v'kicho, v'tiharo, it seems that we're playing on the word. The tiaro. So you put it on the Taharo Shel Mizbeach, because that's what the Torah says you should do. It should be metaher. Metaher means the tiaro. But how can we use that lashon to mean something about where you put it? So over here, you're doing, I said zrika, I meant hazoya, obviously. You're using, you're sprinkling on the Taharo. Where is the Taharo? Omar Rabba Bar of Shila, the word Taharo means the middle, because we use that word to mean noon. Because what it means is shiny. It's kidamri inche, tar tiara. When people want to say that it's noontime, so they say, oh, it's like the brightest moment of the day. And that is referring to midday, palge de yume. So then if we're using taro on the mizbeach, it means palge de mizbeach. Well, there's no half unless you're looking at the side of the mizbeach. Then there's a halfway up. So that must be what it means. You sprinkle, I keep saying sprinkle, I mean you... Yeah, no, a sprinkle is not hazah. Yeah, a sprinkle is good. So the sprinkle would be to be mazah. So you would sprinkle the dam right over there at the midpoint of the mizbeach. Says the Gemara, that cannot be true. Look at the brayta, meisvei. Kishu mazeh, eino mazeh lo agabi ha'efer v'lo agabi gechalim. So when the Kohen Gadol does the hazoya on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Mizbeach HaZohav, the Mizbeach HaKteres, he does not let that dam go on any kind of ashes that are left on the Mizbeach or on coals. First, before he does the hazoya, he moves the ashes and the coals out of the way in order to have a clear, clean spot on the Mizbeach that he's going to do the sprinkling of the dam on. Now, how the heck could that possibly mean on the side of the Mizbeach? There is no coal, there is no afer, right? So, what ashes? Obviously, the Braita is discussing doing a Hazoyas Hadam on the golden surface of the top of the Mizbeach. So, another way to understand that. So, for Rabba Bar Rav Shila to say that he does it on the side is not consistent with the way that the Braisa teaches it. So that can't mean the meaning of Taharo, halfway up. No. Okay, so what then does it mean? Okay, change. Elomar Rabba Bar Rav Shila, what it means is on a uncovered part of the top of the Mizbeah, meaning the very place that we learned the Makor of the Din in the Braisa that says that the Kohen has to move aside any ashes or any coal, is from this lashon, taharo shel mizbeach, because the word taharo means al giluyeh de mizbeach, on something that is completely pure and doesn't have anything else in it, like it says in the pasuk, uche etzem hashamayim letohar. So it says that it was like the clearest vision of the shamayim in its light. That's what it means over here. The gold of the mizbeach should be completely unobstructed. And that's what the Braita was saying. Move away all of the ash. Tanya. Chananya Omer. Now, the last thing that we have not discussed was where on the Taharo Shel Mizbeach? Is this like in the middle of the top Or is it next to where he's standing? Well, it says in the Braita that Hananya says that the Kohen puts the dam seven times on the northern side of the top of the Mizbeah. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, no, he puts it on the southern side of the top of the Mizbeach. And basically, what are they arguing about? The Micah Miflage? They're goofa arguing about the same thing that we know Rabbi Yossi was talking about before. Where exactly was the opening from the Kodesh HaKadoshim into the Heichal? What does that have to do with this? Everything. Because if you started off on the southern side, like we said before, Rabbi Akiva, what side would you come out of? Do you come out of the southern side? Then that means when you finish, then you are going to end up making that complete circle, right? So now, if the opening of the outside parochet was in the southern side, so then that means that the first Karen that you would come to would have been the southwest one, but you had to walk by that because it says that you have to go via Tsa. So you have to go outside the Mizbeach. Okay, so you walk past that one and you get to the southeast one, right? And then you would end up, as Rabbi Akiva said, you would end up on the northeast after going all the way around clockwise. So that means you'd be standing on the northern part of the Mizbeach, and that would be where you would clean off the top, and that would be where you would put the dam to be mazeh the dam al taharosh haMizbeach. But if you hold the other way, Rabbi Yossi, remember, Rabbi Yossi held that the Yitziah from the Kodesh HaKadoshim was directly from the north, and therefore you would do exactly the opposite, because according to him, first you would do your first time in the Koronos would be in the northeast, and then when you complete on the southeast, and therefore what you would do is put the cleaning, you would first clean off the ashes on the southern part of the top, and then you would be mazit the dam on the southern part. So it turns out that all of the Mishnayos that we've had towards the end here all revolve, the machlokasin revolve, whether we're talking about what direction do you go. Do you go between the Mizbeach and the Shulchan, or between the Mizbeach and the Menorah? Or whether we're talking about where it is that you would put your first koronos, or whether we're talking about where you would put the dam on the Taharosh HaMizbeach, all of the machlokasin actually end up revolving at the foundational question of whether the opening was in the north to get from the Heichal into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or the opening was in the south. Now, that is not necessarily, although we took for granted that it was, a machlokas about whether there would be one parochet or two parochets. If there was one parochet, then the opening was directly in the north, and if there was two, the opening was in the south. However, there are shitas that say that even if there were two parochot, it might have been that the opening was inverted and the outside was in the north. Okay, but in any event, that turns out to be a key. Where did I get out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? And based on that, a lot of the questions would be answered. Where do I go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Would define the direction at the beginning. And where do I start putting on the Kronos? And then based on that, where do I put the Dam of the Hazayah on the top of the Mizbeach? Okay. But one thing is for sure. We are definitely taking for granted that for some reason, I mean, you might have thought that these are two different issues. One is the question of doing the Hazayah on, doing the Nisina Sadam on the Kronos. And then there was a different issue of doing Hazoya on the Taharosh HaMizbeach. So, okay, I mean, I might have intuitively sensed that if I'm going to be doing something on the roof of the Mizbeach, why would I be standing at the Kronos? I would just move to the middle, you know, face the Mizbeach, and just do it in the middle. Isn't that like intuitively the sense of it? Yet over here, we're saying that both, everybody, whether it's Rabbi Yossi or whether it's Hananya, everybody agrees you definitely will put it at the place that you finished your kronot. Now, why does everybody take that for granted? So the Kulei Amumi Aichad Gamlin and Matanot the Kronot Hatam Yoy Vagago. It seems like everybody's taking that for granted. Why? My time, huh? Ah, that's because note that the lashon of the pasuk is v'tiharo v'kitcho. So, in other words, immediately after it says al karnot hamizbeach, then it says v'tiharo v'kitcho. So then that would mean that we are going to do it together. Mokom shekitcho, the kiddush of it was the putting it on the kronos. And then the taharo is the lashon that we were using to say that you should put it al taharo shom izbeach. So apparently, wherever the kicho was, that's where the vitaharo is. Shiore adam haya shofecha yisod ma'aravi shom izbeach hachitzon. So then the Mishnah said that there was a difference between the shiore adam of the normal katas that was brought mipachutz, because over there, as the Kohen would come off of the Yisod HaMizbeach, he would put the dam to the closest, he came off the Kevesh to the Yisod, he would put it down at the closest Yisod. The closest Yisod was Dorim. And when it comes to the dam, the Shiore HaDam of the Chataot HaPnimiyot, over there, he would put it bedavka on the side that was facing the doorway from which he would come out of the Heichal. And that was to the west. So why is this? The Yom HaKra, the Eis Kol Hadam Yishpoch, the Loshon of the Posek is that the Kol Eis Kol Dam HaPar Yishpoch Al Yisod Mizbach HaOla Asher Petach O Moed. So why does it stress Asher Petach HaOmoed? So what it's talking about is the part that would be on the west. That's the Pesach HaOmoed. And that, you could say, okay, so what's the big deal? So the part that's on the southwest corner is the west. So you could put it there, right? No. Because, look, when you walk out of the door, that's where you should put it. That's basically what it's saying. Asher Petach HaOmoed, it's relating it not only to a direction, but it's relating it to the door that you walked out of. And what door did you walk out of? The Chinafik, when he walked out of the door, he is facing the Yisod Ma'aravi. So he's going to be in the middle of the Mizbeach. So he goes to that one. That is the one that he first meets. Now, some don't have this girsa, and they simply learn it out from the fact that it says the Petach, which is Marav. So why do I need to add that that's what he's Pogabaresha? That's given as the direction. It's Mashma and Rashi that we have both of the ideas. But if the dam was on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and that was a normal par, so then he would be Shofech HaYisod Romit. Tana Rabbana. So the Bryce explains like this. When it says Yisod Mizbeach HaOla, that's in the context of the Chatas Hanosi. And that's where it specifies to put it, the Shiore Adam, to be Shofech HaYisod Mizbeach HaOla, which we're assuming is the standard for the Chataot. This means the Yisod Romit. How do you know? Hataomer Yisod Romit. Maybe it means the Yisod Ma'aravit. That's also Yisod HaMizbeach. No. It makes sense. Because we have two limudim. One is for the Chataot HaPnimiyot, and one is for the Chataot HaChitzoniyot, right? So what we should do is, we should learn the din. When any Kohen, is coming off of the Kevesh, should be learnt out from the Yitzia, when the Kohen comes out from the Heichal, and he's doing a Chatas HaPnimis. So just like Yitziyato min HaHeichal, the Torah says specifically by the door, which is next to where he is. So there he puts it in the area that's next to him. As we just explained. The same thing is true when he's coming off of the Kevesh and he's now going next to the place where he's going to be pouring the dam. It should be the closest place to where he came down. Well, what direction does he come down? He comes down on the south. So therefore, it would be a reference to Yisod Romi. Now, Lemaisa, there's a Braita in which Rabbi Yishmael says, I disagree, and I hold that either one, whether it's a Chatos HaPnimi or Chatos Chitzoin, the din is, both of them are put on the Yisod Ma'aravi. Obviously, because he's learning the two El Yisod for one from the other. And one, it says Beferish. It says where? It says the Petach HaOmoed. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, on the other hand, says something very strange. He says both of them are to the south. Now look, I mean, I understand Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, he holds Yilmad Satum Min HaMeforash. We have one case, it doesn't say which Yisod. It just says a Yisod Mizbach HaOlah. And the other says Beferish Asher Petach HaOmoed. So we learn both, one from the other, and we put both of the Petach HaOmoed. But what possible reason would there be, according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, to put it on the south? How do we put it on the south if the Torah said Beferish, to put it on the one that is facing directly the door? And that would be the west. Rav Ashi, no. You see, the problem is that according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the placement of the door of the Heichal was only on the Yisod Hadromi, because he holds that the entire Mizbeach was all the way to the north. We're going to be discussing this later. It was all the way to the north of where the Pesach HaHeichal is. So then that means the closest thing to you, if you're going, walking out of the Heichal, was the Yisod HaDromi, interestingly enough. Now, obviously, that Yisod HaDromi is also literally Pesach HaOmoed, because it's the part that's closest to the Pesach as well. But because of this, if I'm going to be loymed the Sostum, Mina Meforash, so it means I'll put both of them on the Yisod of the Dromi. Now, in the end, Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, B'Devei Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Zev Zeh Yisod Dromit. So now, in the Beis HaMedrash of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, they learned that both of them go to the Yisod HaDromit. So according to the way Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai reported it, it's ended up that they claimed that Rabbi Shmuel himself ended up agreeing with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And the way to remember who agreed with whom is V'simanecha Mashkua Gavrei LeGavra. This is usually the case. If you're having a struggle, then the many would pull over the single. So that's what happened over here. Because here we were talking about the Talmidim in the Beis HaMedrash of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and they were Moshech Rabbi Shmuel, meaning that they dragged Rabbi Shmuel over to be holding like their position, and that both of them were the Yisod Dromi. This is how Rashi always learns the idea of the Mashkua Gavri LeGavra. L'maisa Tosfos always disagrees, as he does over here. He learns that Gavri LeGavra means the first of all, would mean the Gavre is the two people. That is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That mentions him and his father. And that was Mashkua, those people, LeGavra. So what that means, according to Tosfos, is that, this is the way the Emek Dover explains it, that the, remember that we have the Iker Limudim that we have are always called the Mechilta of Rabbi Yishmael. But we have the Mechilta of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Why is that? Because oftentimes the Mishnayos continued, I should say the Mishnayos, I mean, actually they turned out to be Brises in the end because we went like Rebbe, but the Brises that were said over by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, they continued on because that after Rabbi Shmuel was Nifter. So a lot of the Talmidim continued learning by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And that means that in the end, they adopted the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And that became like the quotes that we have in the Mechilta of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So that basically, the Talmidim that went over to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, they mixed the Brises together. Okay, the next thing that we have in the Mishnah is that the blood would be sold to the gardeners. And Elo ve'Elo, whether you're talking about the Shiore Hadam that were on the Yisod Dromi, you're talking about Shiore Hadam on the Yisod Ma'aravi, they would flow out to Nachal Kidron, and then they were sold to the Gananim, and you would be over on Me'ila if you didn't pay Hegdesh for utilizing the fertilizing waters that came out from the Amma. Tana Rabban, Mo'alim B'damim, Divrei Rabbi Meir Rabbi Shimon, V'Chachamim Omrim Ein Mo'alim B'damim. So according to the Chachamim, there's never Me'ila on the Dam. And we're only talking, as we're about to see, Midrabanan. So first of all, the whole Machlok is about over here. Whether there's Me'ila B'Dam does not mean Midrabanan. Midiraisa, for sure there's no Me'ilah on Dam, and we're going to see that very clearly in a moment, how we know that. The Machlokas over here is Benogea, even Midrabbanan, whether they were ever Gozer, a Me'ilah Bedami. But Midiraisa, nobody holds that there's Me'ilah, for sure. Why? Ein Mo'alim, Ben Minani Mile, what's the basis of that? Because, says Ula, this is learned directly from the Pasuk. Ki nefesh habasar badamhi. Now listen carefully, because we have three separate diyukim in the same pasuk that all seem to be saying the same thing. V'ani natatif lachem ala mizbeach. Furthermore, lechaper al nafshotechem. And furthermore, ki adam hu benefesh yechaper. I'm going to be darshing each one of those things. So Ula says, look, the pasuk says ani natativ lachem. Wherever it says lachem, it means it's handed over into your rishos, which means that you have a right to use it, and that it is not going to be mechayev you me'ilah. Devei Rabbi Shimon says the basis of the limud is it says ani natativ lachem lechaper. So when the Torah is stressing, I'm giving you this dam for one purpose. For good purposes, to bring a kapora on you, and not to get you into trouble if you misuse it for me'ilah. Okay, so then it's Gufa telling you, there's no chiyuvim andam for me'ilah. It's yours for the good purpose of kapora alone. Le kapora netativ, velo le me'ilah. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, there's another diak over here. It says ki adam hu panefesh yechaper. Now remember that every time we use an existential word, hu, is its being. That means that there's never a change in it, because changes are always part of essence, not part of existence. And therefore, who, when it says who, it's got to mean that lifnei kapara is exactly the same as la'acher kapara. Do we understand that obviously la'acher kapara, if you've already used the dam to do the mitzvah, so then there's for sure no me'ilah, because there's never me'ilah la'achar kapara, as we're going to talk about. So just like la'achar kapara ain bo me'ilah, af lifnei kapara ain bo me'ilah. So this is telling us there will be no existential change, and therefore it cannot bring you to me'ilah. Well, I mean, maybe it means the other way around, no? Can it mean that who tells me that even after kapara, there is no change in the status of the dam? And just like lifnei kapara, there is me'ilah, so to li'achar kapara, there is me'ilah. Maybe means the opposite. No, come on. There's never a case where ein lecha davar shenaseit mitzvato mo'alim bo. How could you say that? It's a given that when you finish doing your mitzvah, then there's never going to be me'ilah. Is that so? And what do you say about velo? What do you say about trumas hadesha? By Trumas Hadesh, and you go, everything's burned, right? Nonetheless, you go up there, you take a shovel full of the ashes, which are completely burned, not sit mitzvah site. You walk down the kevesh, and you have to put it next to the mizbeach, where it's absorbed in the spot, and it says, vissamo, make sure that you put it there. Why? Because it needs gneiza. What do you mean it needs gneiza? I finished the mitzvah, it's just garbage, right? No. So you see that it's possible to be gamer the mitzvah and nonetheless to still have the Yisrano on it. So I say, by Trumas Hadeshen, we say that it's still going to be Aser. That's true. But we have Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'achad that say, don't apply that to anywhere else, okay? Don't apply that to the Dam. Why? Because the Big Day Kuhuna that the Kohen Gadol wears after Yom Kippur, what does it say he has to do with it? Vini Chumsham. You have to leave it there, and they can't be used for any other purposes. Why? Why does it need geniza? You finish the mitzvah. Oh, so therefore, it's coming to time we have shnei ketuvim abayim ke'achad. The Torah is telling us, don't learn that out from Trumas Hadeshen. I'm telling it to you as a special case. And now we have two special cases. The two special cases are Trumas Hadeshen and the Big Day Kuhuna, which require geniza. Nothing else, once it's done mitzvah, so requires geniza. Therefore, the dam is a given that there is no me'ila achar kapara. And if it says who, then it's telling me that even lifnei kapara, there never was me'ila. Kol shnei ketuvim abayim ke'achad ein melamdim. Well, not everybody agrees to that, remember? That's anichal rabbanan who say that vihini cham sham means that it needs gneiza. But remember, Rabbi Dosa says, no, it doesn't mean it needs gneiza. It means vis-a-vis the Kohen Gadol, he has to leave it there because he can't use it for another Yom Kippur. But then a regular Kohen could use it as the Arba Begadim, and he would be able to work with them. So he holds that the big kahuna that were used on Yom Kippur are ru'uyin for a normal kohen edyat all year round. So ma'ik alameimar, according to him, where's the shnei ketuvim ha'gvarim ke'echad? Let's take the dugma of the trumas hadash and say that even la'achar kapara, there is such a thing as me'ila. No, because look, there's also trumas hadash and egla arufa. Egla arufa also has to be left there. And that means that it would be usur ba'ana. So that's, we anyway have shnei ketuvim ha'gvarim ke'echad. So that even after I did the mitzvah with the egla arufa, it's still usur ba'ana. Okay, but even that's a machlokas. Is it true that kol shnei ketuvim abayim keachad ein melamdim? Hanich lamandi omar ein melamdim. What about according to the mandi omar who says melamdim? Michael amemar. Why can't we say that v'nicham sham, according to Rabbi Yochanan, means that you will be over on the me'ilah of the dam even afterwards? Ah, we know the answer to that. We've seen this many times. The Torah went out of its way when it came to talk about Trumas Hadesha, it didn't say Visam Eitzel HaMizbeach. It said Visamo Eitzel HaMizbeach. Visamo means it and only it. So then that would mean it would be a unique din to hear. And don't learn out from it to Dam. The same thing is true from the Egel Arufa. It uses the word Ha'arufa. And Ha'arufa means this special case of the Arufa. And that's basically it. Yeah, but you ended up with three different diyukim, for heaven's sake. You had the lachem, you had the lechaper, and you had also who. Why do I need three different words in the same pasuk, all of them telling me the same thing about the dam, that there's no me'ila? So talatik roi b'dam lomali. Ah, not so. We need all three. We need one pasuk to tell me that there is no iser of nosar on dam. So let's say you ate dam b'shogeg, that was nosar. You would not have to bring a korban on the nosar. You would only have to bring a korban on the karas of achilas dam. One is to be mamayit from the chiyuv me'ila, which we just learned, and one is to be mamayit from tuma. Let's say you were tamei b'tumas haguf, and eating kachim b'tumas haguf is an iser karas, and you ate dam b'shogeg b'tumas haguf, you would only be chayiv on the shogeg of the dam, but you would not be chayiv on the shogeg of tuma. Okay, well, what about if I ate dam that was pigol? Don't I need a pusik for that? No. Mi pigol lo tzarech l'mutekrat. It's obvious that you're not going to be chayiv on eating dam of pigol, because pigol is by definition only possible on a part of a korban that had a matir, let's say the meat. If I'm zorek the dam, the zrikas hadam, done with a machshava of pigol, can turn the meat, which the dam is matir for the kohen, or matir for the mizbeach, into the iser koras of achilas pigol, if he has in mind chutz lizmano. But the dam itself has no matir. The dam is the matir. And the mokar of the dinam of pigol is learned from shlomim. And therefore, there is no way to be mechayev you anyway without any special limud in a pasuk. There would be no way to apply the dinam of pigol to the dam itself, which you had used to make the pigol. Only something sheyesh lo matir in either la'odam or la'mizbeach is shayach to pigol. So now we know that there's no dinam, not of me'ila, not of nosar, not of pigol, and not of tumas haguf on dam itself.